Start a thing is a call to action. It's a get off your butt and just do it thing. Stop waiting, hoping, and downright lying to yourself. Own your power, be fearless, and start your thing. This is Lena Ski, hostess of the Supernova podcast, and this is your weekly invitation to greatness. Amazing to have you on the call.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I had to almost watch myself. I'm like, grab a reason summit, this is another podcast. I'm like, grab myself. I'm here chatting to Monique and it's on the podcast. So yay. It's always amazing as entrepreneurs how, you know, we're constantly doing so many different things. We just need to constantly stay aware of where we are and what that thing is that we're doing, right?
Most definitely. Always keep your eyes open for opportunities as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just like this one. So, Monique, we've been chatting through social media, the amazing social media tool, and we've kind of been in a mastermind program together and kind of starting to support each other in those ways. And you've got a really interesting story, and you've got a book coming out, which is all about starting your thing. And I think this is something that the aspiring supernovas and all the purposeful entrepreneurs really resonate with. Because even if you're not new to the business world, there's always something new to start. There's always a new moment to start. And again, if you are on the ground zero, and you really are starting your business, and you really are starting to evolve your brand, it's a little bit more overwhelming. So what was the defining point for you when you kind of realized that you were starting your big thing?
Well, that's an amazing question. And definitely I'd have to give you some backstory in order for it to make sense. But what happened, I started my official thing, I thought I was going to be an environmental manager. I did just completed my undergrad degree, came back to Barbados from Toronto, and I was working in consulting. And the moment that I realized I needed to start my thing was when I recognized that the people under me who were consultants and I was salaried were making 10 times my paycheck. And yeah, it was really depressing. Because I'm managing a team and the people working with me are taking my instruction, but I'm not being compensated at the same level. And the reason for that I was given is I was an employee and they were independent. So I knew that I needed to become independent as well. And so it didn't happen right away, but that moment I recognized that I needed to leave the job, and I spent 3 months just praying that today would be the day I got fired. Which is a crazy thing to pray for when you just got your first job and you want to leave. But the reason why I needed to get terminated is so that I could have severance to start my first business. And that's exactly what I did 3 months later when I was given my freedom pass.
How did that happen? Was this something that you wished and worked hard to do, or did the universe just say, this is your time, move on?
I think it was a combination of both. I always delivered work at the standard that was expected of me or higher, but it came to a point where I had done the work I needed to do, and there was nothing further for me. And I knew I was ready to move forward to the next step, and it just... all that was required was for my boss to recognize that it was also my time to go. And it took 3 months, but we parted amicably because we knew I needed to grow in my direction, and there was no way for me to contribute to the company at the state it was in. So it was just divine. It was my time to move on, and a way was created for me to make that happen.
So how did that you know, those next couple of days come about for you? Because, or the next couple of weeks, really, because here you are, you're from the security of a payslip, paycheck on a month-to-month basis. That idea of being employed and the security, or the perceived security that we have with that, and transitioning into an entrepreneur, how did you find that energetic shift?
Well, the shift started when I made the decision 3 months before. So when I made the decision, I knew I needed to understand what being a business owner would be like. And that meant spending my time researching in depth so that when the day finally came, I wasn't just mentally ready, but I had prepared myself for the process I had to go through. Obviously, you can't be completely prepared for starting your own business, especially when it comes to the next payday and your car payment is due and there's no paycheck. But what I was able to do is just stay in action. And that's something that I talk about in my book. We get bogged down with fear and frustration when we don't know what's next. So if we can always operate knowing even just a step ahead of where we are, that brings some level of comfort to us. It's when we don't know what's happening tomorrow and we have like no clue at all, that's when you feel overwhelmed and a bit chaotic. But if you know what's going to happen tomorrow morning, or what you're going to achieve tomorrow morning, then you're okay.
And I think and I love that, because it's that kind of practical visioning as well. I mean, there's all these people who tell you to do a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 15-year plan, and there's great value in those, and I do tend to try and think ahead. But for some people, especially when you're stepping into something that's such an unknown, there's just too many possibilities. It can just go in way too many directions, and every choice is met with ambivalence. It's either this or this or this or this. So to be able to just kind of go, what's the most powerful thing? Like, what's the next choice? What's the next vision that you can step into and live with that? I think that's a really great technique.
Yeah, I love it. And it's something that I do every day. So part of I'm very big on having rituals so that I create a habit that's in the state of mind that I want to have all day. So the first thing I do every morning is, after I do my gratitude practice, I ask myself, what question do I need to answer today? And that question is going to be, the question surrounds my future for the day. What piece of information do I need to understand in order for my day to happen exactly as it should? So I keep my big vision in mind, and right now my vision is to become a best-selling author. And today, what do I need to know in order to help me become a best-selling author in a few months? I spend the first hours of the day reflecting on that question, researching if I have to, and my goal is always to have that question answered before midday. And that simple practice has brought me so much calm. So much calm, because I'm not flustered. I'm not trying to do 10 things. I'm just trying to do one single thing.
Just curious, do you always know what the question is, or does it sometimes feel a little bit harder to decide what your question for the day is?
Sometimes it's hard. I can definitely say that. You know, some mornings you wake up and you know exactly what you want to do. Other times you're confused. But when I feel confused, what I always do is think about why I'm feeling that way. And so that becomes a question. What do I have to do to not feel this way today? So it could be geared to emotion or geared to action, but it still needs to be answered.
And also something, I guess, that's relative to business. I mean, you could be feeling apprehensive about that car payment, and that might kind of fall in a different category. But, you know, if you realize that everything's interconnected and everything's serving each other, and especially as an entrepreneur, a lot of the things that we do with purpose spill over into other parts of our lives and other segments of our world, then I think it might help frame that question a little bit easier for people.
Yeah, definitely.
So what are some of the other rituals that you've been doing to really kickstart your day or to keep the momentum up?
Well, that's my main one. Once I finish that, so after you ask the question and you start looking for the answer, depend if it's an action-oriented question or even an emotional question, what I like to do is break it down further into three things that I could do that would allow me to consider the question answered. So, for example, one of my questions this week was, how can I dominate social media in order to have a successful campaign for my book launch? And so, in answering that question, I recognized that I needed to have a plan of action for the launch. I needed to identify someone to help me create content for the launch. And also, I think the last one was just setting up the different networks I needed in order to maximize my message. So when I did those three things, then I was instantly calm because I knew exactly what I had to do in order to dominate my Facebook. So just breaking them down into actions is something that I like to do. And at the end of the day, it's very much about reflection. So some people reflect and they criticize themselves and they say, well, you know, I wish I had done this and, you know, why didn't I do that? But I like to spend the end of my day just giving myself a pat on the back. So even if it didn't go according to plan, maybe I didn't eat as well as I need to, because sometimes I get so consumed with work that I don't eat as well as I need to. And rather than saying, well, you know, Monique, you didn't take care of yourself today, I prefer to say, you know, it was really good that you were able to get so much done. So it's really just an internal motivation.
For sure. And I think also the thing with that is every day is going to be different. Some days are naturally going to be more productive and you will cross off 10, 20 things if you were to do this. And some days you may just need to zero in on one or two, or maybe even zero in on just one and take a little bit more care of yourself, because that's actually going to be the greatest leverage. So I think what I love about what you're saying and the way that you're kind of putting it together, which I'm almost seeing like a spider diagram, like what are the components of this action, what are the components of that action, and constantly staying in that structural system thinking, so to speak, then you're able to like leverage and go, well, what points do I need to go after to make the biggest impact on my day or the biggest impact on my week?
Absolutely, because it's about doing the things that matter the most. And that's how you feel fulfilled at the end of the day. If you spent your day doing things that really didn't matter, then you feel like you've wasted your time. So if you can get one thing done a day that really mattered to you, you're going to feel successful every day.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I think it's also important not to judge what that task is. Because, you know, sometimes I look at myself and I'm sitting on social media and I'm thinking, is this really the thing that I need to be doing? But, you know, when I was starting out the podcast or starting to do something, social media was the way to start having those conversations, or what you're saying as leveraging your experience. So it's also how you approach that particular task and how you frame that particular thing and what you do with it.
Yeah, for sure. Because importance and significance is subjective, right? So the things that matter to you the most. For me, my goal today is just to feel confident. So if my whole day feeling confident, then
well, you're coming across with tons and tons of confidence, so you can go and check that one.
Check.
Isn't that the greatest feeling? Just check.
Oh yeah, for sure. Sure. I think that's why asking that question is so empowering, and being able to answer it before you even start your real day is really empowering, because you've already taken your biggest thing for the day off of your list, off of your plate.
That eat the frog kind of mentality, or slay the dragon, or however you want.
Yes. One of my favorite books.
I don't even know where you want to go with this metaphor, but okay, let's imagine we're starting a fire. So, if we're going to go and get like fluff and feathers and like little twiggy things, chances are that fire's not going to take. We're going to need something a little bit more sustainable, you know, to really light it. Maybe the biggest block, you know, might not light it, or, you know, this is where I'm kind of messing up my own metaphor, because I don't know how to start a fire from scratch. But, you know, you really do need to leverage it, and you really do need to find it.
For sure.
So, what is your thing? Because, I mean, okay, I understand you've got the book, but
yeah.
Is the book, or is the book a medium to something bigger for you? Like, what is the thing that you really want to move at the end of the day?
That's a great question, and the thing that my thing is helping people. I love to create a space where people can feel empowered and feel confident, because one of the reasons why I wrote the book is that there's so many talented people that I meet every single day, and they're stuck doing things that they absolutely hate. They're stuck not being creative, not doing the things that they enjoy, and not making money from those things because they don't think they can. And I get little kid excited when I see somebody take action on their ideas. And Start Your Thing is really about making people recognize that it's so easy to take action. It's so easy to take action because it's so bite-sized, and action doesn't have to be getting a $200,000 loan to start a restaurant. Action could be deciding what you want your logo to look like. So that's my thing. I love entrepreneurship. I think it's the way that people will survive. In my age group in particular, lots of people who went to university with me are sitting at home unemployed, even though they have other talents. But because they don't recognize how they can package their genius into something tangible and turn it into something that serves the world in a bigger way, they're just not contributing at all. And that's something that I want to change.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, we get boxed into these things of like who we are and what we are, or even the titles or the degrees we go after. You know, there's these checkboxes, we either have to be this thing or this thing or this thing. And we don't see the possibilities of what lives in between those things, or what our passions really are. And I think that's where a lot of those degrees, especially straight out of school, really miss us. It is so hard to understand that question and be able to know where it is that you want to go and make an impact.
Yeah, definitely. And what I've found is that, particularly my education here in the Caribbean, has been very much a regurgitation base and not a critical thinking base. And so we find ourselves having to conform to these boxes because we don't recognize that the boxes are in our imagination. So, Start Your Thing is really about that too, helping people to see that the boxes don't exist, they don't physically exist, and it's okay to have a master's in environmental management and make cosmetics.
Sure. I mean, you're living proof of that. There's this whole idea of we've all got these passions and we've all got these purposes, and the way we want to serve the planet and the way we want to serve each other and make an imprint and really give value to the world it's going to be so different for you, it's going to be so very different for me. So you can apply that knowledge and package it in so many different ways. There's not just one way of doing things. And I think that's the great advantage that people need to kind of just open their eyes to. Because we've been so conformed that there's only one way to be, or there's only one way to open a restaurant, or be an author, or serve a tribe. But in fact, there's so many different other ways.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And sometimes we let fear stop us from, I guess, fear and also not understanding how unique you are, because if I found, especially here, what a lot of people do is, if you're gonna be in the same industry as me, we can't be friends. I can't talk to you because you're my competition, and we're not supposed to talk because we're competing against each other. And what would be really beautiful is if we had a lot more of that information being exchanged, and so we're both helping each other to be the best versions of ourselves. Because we need to recognize that your contribution to the world is completely different from mine, and you being able to do what you do best doesn't stop me from being able to do my job in the best way I possibly can. So it's really a recognizing how abundant our universe is, and also recognizing how important each person on the planet is and the role that we play in the bigger picture of making the world a better place.
For sure. You just quickly mentioned the fears. I'm sure the fears are something that you're speaking about in the book. What have been some of the fears that you've seen come up for yourself, and how did you get through them?
Definitely talking about fear in the book, and one of the things that I do is share a technique which I call the Fear Buster. And I've used that technique to deal with my own fears, because it's something that everybody has. No matter how successful you are, you will always hear that person talking about when they were afraid. Some of the things that scare me are, I used to have this fear long before I became an entrepreneur, and it was running out of money. I had a serious fear of running out of money. If I was shopping, I could never go with exact money. I always had to have more because I didn't want to run out. And you can imagine that a fear of running out of money would be something that would stop me from quitting my job. But it didn't, because I was able to focus on the picture beyond the fear. And so that's something that I think everybody needs to look at. What happens if you can move past your fear? And is that destination, is that outcome more important to you than the fear itself? So for me, if I think about my situation and my fear of running out of money, what I did when I wanted to quit my job is I said, well, what happens when I quit my job? I have two options that can happen. I can either end up broke and get another job, or I can build a business that's so successful that I never run out of money and my fear no longer becomes an issue. So I decided I wanted to go after the second option. And of course, if it didn't work out, there was always getting another job. So by looking at my fear straight on and trying to see through it and what was on the other side, I became motivated to walk through the fear to the other side.
For sure. So important. And one of the questions that I love that comes out of coaching a lot is, how do you know your fear is actually real? Because we've been so conditioned to think that this is real, or that scenario is actually really going to pay out. You don't really know that. There's no intrinsic proof, because even if it has been your path to create those kinds of outcomes, that doesn't mean that this time around you're going to produce the same results.
Definitely, and that's a great question too, because I'm not even sure how to answer. How do you know your fear is real? Your fear, I think it comes from facing it, just facing it and asking it questions. For me, questions have been the way that I deal with everything. That's why I start my day with a question. And in the book, there are lots of questions as well, because we are conditioned to just take everything as it is. If this person is an expert, what they say is true, and I should never question it because it was written in a book, or my teacher taught me this, or this is how it's always done. And so we become very automated. And the way to break that automation, the way to really see who you are and understand your point of view, is some questioning. So I think that would be the method that I would recommend. If you want to understand if your fear is real, you need to ask some questions about it. Is this really what I believe to be true? Do I actually feel this way, or is this someone else's feelings that I'm experiencing on their behalf? Is it a sympathetic emotion? And what is really stopping me? Just digging deeper into the fear and asking it questions will help you to move through it and understand it a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to kind of almost invite it to tea, I guess, and really just kind of sit it down and get to know what part of yourself is really feeling wounded or hurt, and how can the other parts of you or your environment or your support structures actually help support you in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, because I guess the only other alternative is to pretend it doesn't exist, and then your business is pretty much downward from there, isn't it? I mean, you can't win that way. Can't think of anyone who's won that way.
Ignoring it just allows it to grow bigger and then smack you in the face.
We rather start our things, face that moment, and have the thrill of a lifetime on the other side of it.
Yeah. And just by facing it too, it allows you to even be more creative, because sometimes fear can limit your creativity. So if you face it and you recognize, well, my fear isn't actually that big, or it's not real, or I'm bigger than that, then you're able to really focus on that thing that you're creating for yourself. And so instead of thinking about how afraid you are, you can think about how talented you are and how you can use that talent in a bigger way.
And on that note, kind of fascinating. I mean, it's happened to me. I'll totally put my hand up in earnest that I do this, and I'm sure a lot of people do, is when we're caught in a moment like that, when we're fearful, when we're doubtful, or when we're just faced with something that we really just don't know whether it's inside out or upside down, which way out, is that we tend to let those limiting beliefs come in and those fears come in, and we automatically think we can't do it. And yes, you know, if you look at moments in your life where you've achieved something great, or you got a really good compliment, or something else happened, and when you look at those collectives, you're like, hold on, unless this is rocket scientists and you're doing something really, really different, chances are your experience is so much more exponential than this little hurdle is that's in front of you. And it's just fascinating that we always go to that gasping phase, that we always go to fear or flight rather than soaring or looking at it or picking at it or playing with it and going, how can we turn this into creativity, as you said?
And you know, what I love about that whole thought process too is the idea of your fear. As I was talking, it just went straight out of my head. What I was going to say is that what I love about the whole thought process is the idea of looking at your past. as an indicator of how you could overcome your fear that you're facing. And I talk about this, I'm not sure if I talked about it in my book, but I definitely talk about it when I work with clients. I always say you're not born with the ability to walk or even talk, but you learn. And so if you fear of starting and you're like, well, I don't know how, and I don't have this skill, I don't have this skill. But you have to recognize that you weren't born with anything that you have right now. All the knowledge, all the approaches, you were born with nothing. And you got here.
For sure. And it's also a funny thing. It's like, yeah, what you just said now. When you start something, the immediate first question is, like, the how. And, yes, yeah, sometimes we do need to know the how. That's why we go into research mode, like you've done with your book, and what the best practices are in other aspects of your life. And sometimes we do need to do that. But sometimes that how is just the biggest cop-out that we can throw at a situation. It's like, nah, how? No, not even. Can't even think of it through. You know, it's some sort of ethereal little vague idea. I'll go do something else. So how do you deal with that question?
The how is definitely something that gets people stuck. And that's what the book is about. The book is about the how. Because what I've found is in working with people, and even when I was building my business, I could find lots of stories about what people did and just a really high level look at how we did it, but not really the details. Like, how do you figure out how to brand your business, and how do you figure out what to call yourself, and do you promote your own name or do you promote a fictitious name, and all those other things. So the how is definitely the thing that will stop you. And if you get stuck there and you're not inclined to research, then you're more likely to abandon that idea. So again, for me, research and asking questions and finding the answers, that's my method of moving past it. So learning from other people's stories. One of the favorite quotes I like is standing on the shoulders of giants. So recognizing that there's nothing we're doing that's new under the sun. And so if there's nothing new, it has to have been done before, and someone has to know how to do it, but they figured it out. So if somebody else could have figured it out, that's proof that it's figureoutable. And
I love that word, figureoutable.
And so if you know that it can be figured out, then you have to decide if you want it enough to take the effort to figure it out.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I think that is such a powerful question. If it is figureoutable, do you have enough passion? Do you have enough drive? Do you have enough ooze and just care and heart to really step into the life that you want and to grow after your dream? Because really, that's what it comes down to. I love that. And how can you not start your thing after framing it that way? It's kind of like, well, think, and I'll own this, because for me, when I kind of started going through my shift, when I realized that me being an entrepreneur and really, really committing to the things that I want to be doing, when it was really about that, and when the other choice felt like death, where it just felt like being lost and not 100% me and having to hide and suppress the things that I'm passionate about, there is only one choice, and the only one choice is then to start your thing.
Definitely. And I love that you said there's only one choice, because for some people, they feel like they have no choice, but they feel as though the only thing they can do is stay where they are.
And that's true, so, the choice.
Yeah. So recognizing that sometimes your desire and your yeah, your desire is so powerful that it forces you into action. And I can absolutely say that that's happened to me with this particular book, because I started the book, I had some difficulty starting my thing. And I'll be the first to admit that, because you have to go through the process in order to guide someone out, right? And for me, when I first started my book, I had the worksheets, I had the information there in a different format, and it was through a conversation at a conference that a guy said to me, you know, what you have there is powerful and you need to get it out. You need to put that in a book. And I looked at him sideways and I'm like, really? I'm not an author. And that was me resisting my purpose. But it came to the point where I had no choice. I kept thinking about it all the time. Like, I need to write this book. I need to write this book. And then in every conversation I had with people, they'd ask me a question that I knew I could answer with this book. So I understand what it feels like to know that you have no choice but to do it, even if you're not clear how.
Yeah, I think it's such an amazing, when you get to that point, everything just becomes clear. And it's just a matter of, I guess, awakening enough or being open enough to have that conversation with yourself, or to have a conversation like that with a loved one or a coach or a mentor.
And that's sometimes the hardest conversation to have, because when you feel passion and you feel desire for something, you feel a sense of purpose, it's not easy to put into words.
Or a book. It's a collective of words.
So true. It's really challenging, because how do I explain feelings that I've never had before? How do you break that down into something that another human being could relate to if they've never had the experience?
Kind of like writer's block of life, or writer's block in your business.
Yeah, it's exactly that, because what I realize now is that my process is really something that I developed over time without recognizing it was a process. And then having to go back through that and deconstruct it in a way that other people can digest it and take action on it, it's really climbing inside my brain.
Oh, yeah. But it's fun. I mean, once you start, like, seeing the puzzle pieces come together, and you're like, I guess it also gives you that innate appreciation for what it is that you've been putting out there, because very often, when we're an expert or when we're at least in our element, we don't actually know that other people don't know this. And when we're forced to really become the observer in that and to take on another perspective and to look at it for what it really is and start piecing it together, we're like, wow, is that really what I'm about? Or is that really where the potential could be? I love that part.
I do too.
So on that part, is there anything in particular that you want to highlight from the book or just mention that you think, as you start wrapping up, that people might really resonate with and take action on today?
Well, I call the book Your Personal Cheerleader. And it's for a good reason, because every time that you step out and you do something that's different, that's unusual for you, you need support. And when people are starting something, support may not always be around. And so if you need a companion to help you understand how to break through your fear and real practical strategies and techniques that guide you through the process, like literally sit beside you in the room and walk you through step by step everything that you're going through and all the fears and emotions and and doubt that you go through, then this is something, the book that I've written was for you. It's for anybody who knows that they have something bigger inside of them and they're ready to just stand up and do it and not be afraid to be afraid. So that's really the key here. The key to starting your thing is to not be afraid to be afraid, because I promise you, they will be fair. But if you can face that, then you'll be okay.
Absolutely. It's that kind of that definition of courage, and knowing this is fear, but like owning the fear and still going through it anyway. I've messed it up, but it's that kind of a point.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it doesn't make sense. My book is very honest about the process, because it doesn't make sense sugarcoating things and telling people, oh, it's so easy, you can totally do it, like, it's nothing to worry about, because that's just not true. A lot of the times you hear stories from business books, and they sugarcoat the truth. They don't talk about failure, they don't talk about when they were, they'll glaze over the part where things were really rough, and they'll just get to the part where, oh, we made like $10 million in the last quarter. But Start Your Thing is really designed to help you go through the process at the pace that you're going through the process, as opposed to just being really high level and rushing it all. So for anybody who's just thinking that they need to get started and they're afraid and they want to learn how they can really leverage their talents, I would just tell them, start with what you're afraid of. Look it straight in the face and ask it. You know, are you really as tough as you look? You know, what's behind you? And stay focused on that.
Really beautiful, Monique. Well, Monique, how can people get copies of your book or follow up the work that you do and help you really achieve that social media status that you wanted to achieve by the end of the week? how can they give you that thumbs up on that?
Wonderful. Well, I would absolutely love that. We're on Facebook. The book is called Start Your Thing. So if you go to facebook.com/startyourthing, you'll find the book. You'll find the Facebook page and the website where you can pre-order or even just get notified of when the book goes on sale is startyourthing.com.
Brilliant. That's amazing.
And if you I was just going to say that if you are interested, I also do have a Facebook page for myself, which is Monique Welch.
Perfect. So we'll be adding those links as well to anyone who's listening in case you missed that or you just want one of those nice little kicks here. Bye. Well, Monique, thank you so much for joining us on the Supernova podcast. It's been so great to hear you start your thing and give you the platform to help other people inspire theirs.
Thank you. It was wonderful being here. I really enjoyed our session together.
Give yourself permission. Permission to be amazing, bold, generous, valued, celebrated, inspired, and transformed. Because when you choose to live from courage and be authentically real, and you choose to make the moment, meet the moment, step up and step in, being the true illuminary that you really are, and honoring the supernova within, that's when you honor the invitation to greatness. For more information, head on over to www.lenaski.com.